few days before his big farewell party, Jaffe and I had an argument. We went into San Francisco to deliver his bike to the freighter at the pier, then went up to Skid Row in a drizzling rain to get cheap haircuts at the Barber's College and pook around Salvation Army and Goodwill stores in search of long underwear and stuff. As we were walking in the drizzly, exciting streets, "Reminds me of Seattle," he yelled. I got an overwhelming urge to get drunk and feel good. I bought a poor boy of Ruby Port and uncapped it, dragged Jeff into the alley, and we drank. "Better not drink too much," he said. "You know, we got to go to Berkeley after this and attend a lecture and discussion at the Buddha Center." "Oh, I don't want to do no such thing. I just want to get drunk in alleys." "But they're expecting you. I read all your poems there last year." "I don't care. Look at the fog flying over the alley. Look at this warm, ruby red port. Don't it make you feel like singing in the wind?" "No, it doesn't. You know, Ray, Kalathi says you drink too much." "And him with his ulcer? Why do you think he has an ulcer? Because he drank too much himself." "Do I have an ulcer? Not on your life. I drink for joy. If you don't like my drinking, you can go to the lecture by yourself. I'll wait at Kluglin's cottage." "But you'll miss all that just for some old wine?" "There's wisdom in wine, goddammit," I yelled. "Have a shot." "No, I won't." "Well, then I'll drink it." I drained the bottle and went back to 6th Street, where I immediately jumped back into the same store and bought another poor boy. I was feeling fine now. Jeffy was sad and disappointed. "How do you expect to become a good Buddhika? Or even a Bodhisattva Matasattva? Always getting drunk like that. Have you forgotten the last of the bulls, where he gets drunk with the butchers?" "Ah, so what? How can you understand your own mind essence with your head all muddled, and your teeth all stained, and your belly all sick?" "I'm not sick, I'm fine. I could just float up into that gray fog and fly around San Francisco like a seagull. Did I ever tell you about Skid Row here? I used to live for myself. I lived in Skid Row, Seattle myself. I know all about that." The neon of stores and bars was glowing in the gray gloom of rainy afternoon. I felt great. After we had had our haircuts, we went into a Goodwill store and fished around bins, pulling out socks and undershirts and various belts and junk we bought for a few pennies. I was taking serendipitous slugs of wine out of my bottle, which I had wedged in my belt. Jaffe was disgusted. Then we got into the jalopy and drove to Berkeley, across the rainy bridge, to the cottages of Oakland, and then downtown Oakland, where Jaffe wanted to find a pair of jeans that fitted me. We'd been looking all day for used jeans that would fit me. I kept giving him wine and finally relented a little and drank some and showed me the poem he had written while I was getting my hair cut in Skid Row. "Modern Barber College. Smith, eyes closed, suffers a haircut, fearing its ugliness. 50 cents. A barber student, olive-skinned, Garcia on his coat. Two blonde small boys, one with feared face and big ears, watching from seats. Tell him, 'You're ugly, little boy, and you've got big ears.' He'd weep and suffer and wouldn't even be true. The other thin-faced, conscience. Concentrated. Patched, blue jeans and scuffed shoes, watches me delicate. Suffering child who grows hard and greedy with puberty. Ray and I with poor boy of Ruby Port in us. Rainy day, May day. No used Levi's in this town. Our size. And Barber College, T&G crappers. Skid Row haircuts. Middle-aged barbers. Careers start out. Now flowering." "See," I said, "you wouldn't even have written that poem if it weren't for the wine that made you feel good." "Oh, I would have written it anyway. You're just drinking too much all the time. I don't see how you're even going to gain enlightenment or manage to stay up on the mountains. You'll always be coming down down the hill, spending your bean money on wine, and finally you'll end up in the street, in the rain, dead drunk, and they'll take you away, and you'll have to be reborn a teetotaling bartender to atone for your karma." He was really sad about it and worried about me, but I just went on drinking. When we got to Alva's cottage, it was time to leave for the Buddhist Center lecture. I said, "I'll sit here and get drunk and wait for you." "Okay," said Jaffe, looking at me darkly. "It's your life." He was gone for 2 hours. I felt sad and drank too much and got dizzy. But I was determined not to pass out and stick to it and prove something to Jaffe. Suddenly, at dusk, he came running back into the cottage drunk as a hoot owl, yelling, "You know what happened, Smith? I went to the Buddhist lecture and they were all drinking raw white sake out of teacups and everybody got drunk. All those crazy Japanese saints, you were right, it doesn't make any difference. We all got drunk and discussed brownie. It was great." After that, Jeffy and I never had an argument again.